What is going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 191 of Literary Lessons. I'm in a onesie, and I'm joined with Cal Ketsis.
And BD1, of course.
Yes, and BD1. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Happy Halloween weekend. Happy Halloween. I hope everyone's enjoying the festivities, and welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, and by festivities, we do mean the weekend that happened in Toronto. We had our fourth regional weekend in a row, capping off a marathon of Regulation E majors in the month of October. And it's going to be our last event up until last major event up until LAIC, which I believe is the week before American Thanksgiving.
So, like, two-ish weeks from now, yeah, we have kind of. Not the longest break in the world.
Oh, man. I can actually, let's see. It is, you got
We've been pretty spoiled with the amount of tournaments there's been recently.
And you got, like, it's, I think it starts, day one would be, I'm still in October. Yeah, it's two, day one is Friday, November 17th, which is also my seven and a half year anniversary that day, fun fact. Yeah, so they got like, you know, 2.5 weeks off about, close to three, a little break there.
That would make a championship Sunday on my birthday, so.
Really?
Yeah, great day to share with the LAIC finals, I guess. So good on them for sharing the best day of the year.
So it's to jump ahead of that. So that day, I'm going to be traveling down to my my parents for Thanksgiving. Amanda and I are going to be spending the week with them, and that means that I will have to make sure I bring my microphone and my computer and everything to my parents, so I can drive down. Try to at least watch LAIC finals, and then hop on to talk about it. What I will not be able to watch the entire final day. Well, it's Championship Sunday, so I just watch.
It's
finals.
Just it's one easy. Battle. You can just skim all the way through to the end.
Yeah. So no, you're right. That's easy. The day before, we'll get to that point when we get to it. We're getting very ahead, but right now let's talk about the here and now, and by that I mean what happened yesterday and today. We're going to start with day one usage for Toronto. So lead us off on day one usage.
So we have Fluttermane returning back to the top for the first time in what feels like a really long time. Mm. Still coupled up towards the top with its favorite Iron Hands Lando T partnership. Ogrepan, surprisingly, you know, not in the, it's in number 10 now, it's not in that top 5, the Ogrepan Hearthflame. We do have the water one taking that that top spot for the Ogrepans. And all 11 of the 12 Pokemon here are over 20% usage, which is, I don't think we've seen this much centralization, I think, in a long time with teams.
So it feels really weird because you are absolutely right, and we're actually going to see this even more when we do switch over to day two. While there are 11 Pokemon at 20% or greater, at the same time, it feels like every single time you throw on stream, a lot of these teams are super unique. You still, just look at what we had. When we look at our top eight, a lot of these teams are going to be super different. And I think what it is you could pretty much take four, or like you could take like 3 to 5 of any of these bonds, make a core out of them. And then it's like you're pulling in your King Gambit, your Goldengo, your Cresselia, or like any of these top mons, Amoongus, which was having to come back
this week. Smack some glue on it.
Mm-hmm. Roaring Moon
blue around them.
Yep. Yeah, Roaring Moon as well as another mon that had like a lot of usage that just missed this top 12. And it's like everything's the same, but at the same time everything is super different. Which I kind of like. I really enjoy how this format has been developing.
Yeah, I think it'll show, also in day two, just like there's been a lot of shifts between day one and day two in this tournament. You know, such as Urshifu dropping, jumping five spots. Yeah, Ogerpon completely falling off the map here. Gone in day two usage. Iron Bundle, Golden Ko, Amoongus are all back up in the in that top 12. It feels like we're, you know, it feels like the days of like Reg C, Reg D are kind of back upon us again. You know, Reg C with like some of the extra Reg D spikes in there.
No, it's definitely like that, and you bring that up. There isn't a single Pokemon introduced in Regulation E in the top 12. And it also does show the overall dominance that Pokemon from Reg C and Reg D did bring. You look at, specifically for Reg D, you have the Urshifu, Rillaboom, Arcanine, Hisuian, Lando, Torn, and Heatran. So six of those, of the Pokemon in the top 12, were all from, were all introduced in Regulation D. And to be quite honest, it's, then you have three of the remaining six were Reg Beamons, actually. These are Paradox Pokemon that are insanely powerful. Actually, if you want to go all the way back, I believe it was to the Regulation B tier listing that I did with Carl and Manny. Probably was close at some point, like this past winter. Our three S-tier Paradox Mons were Hands, Flutter, and Bundle. And here we are, almost a year after we've had that conversation, added the Ruin Mons, added all of these insanely powerful legendary Pokemon back in, just a lot of old classics. And here we are with these three new Pokemon that we're like, oh yeah, these are going to be great. Well, they're still great, even with all of the new power that's been added to the format.
Yeah, and you know, just to mention these older Pokemon from older formats kind of coming back, Amoongus is something that we haven't seen really at all in all of Regulation E. You know, a staple through every format through Regulation D. It completely fell off, and it's right back here. And I think that is obviously, you know, in part to the Ogerpon forms not finding themselves on as many teams. You know, you were rolling before, you know, close to like a 50% chance of running into one of those Ogerpon forms, which really helped to shut down Amoongus a ton, but you're not running to them nearly as much anymore. They're not within, you know, 20% usage on day two, which makes it, you know, a much stronger meta for Amoongus, which we saw, you know, all the way up until finals today.
I think one of the other big things, specifically like with Amoongus and Goldengo also popping up, these are two Pokemon, they've always been good as they're just waiting for their spot in the format. I think a lot of people looked at Flutter on a downturn and said, okay, if Flutter's on a downturn, we can go with more Goldengo. And a lot of these teams, they haven't really been building checks in for Amoongus. You're seeing less Terra Grass, Safety Goggles, which was a staple on pretty much any team that you would build for, God, four formats, is an item that is is not seen whatsoever anymore. And it
even
just
longer
felt like,
if you count Sword and Shield in there too.
Absolutely, and it got to a point where what I think happened on a lot of these teams, especially the balance teams that were using Wellspring Ogerpon as like the grass type Gloomon, they're looking at these team builders, Paul Chu, of course, was probably looking at it and saying, why am I going to use Ogerpon when no one's respecting Amoongus, and Amoongus can just sit here and win games on its own because you have the safe defensive Terra, you have the ability to sleep everything, you have the redirection. If people aren't respecting Amoongus, that's when it becomes Amoongus' greatest like time to shine. I wouldn't be shocked if we see Amoongus usage drop. Not like, I wouldn't be shocked if it like is in this like 11-12 spot again, but I think people
had like a little downturn even.
People know it's a thing again, and I think it's Amoongus did well because no one respected it, and now you're going to see that respect again for this Pokemon that has really withstood the test of time and was almost able to sneak in another win under the guise of Pulchua.
Yeah, I think that the thing with Amoongus too, just while we're on the topic, that a lot of people were disrespecting is that everyone sees Ogerpon as like a hard check to Amoongus, but that's only before they terrestrialize. You know, exactly. A lot of the Ogerpon water form really relies on that special defense boost to live Flutter main hits and things like that. They're not like the bulkiest of Pokemon. They take, you know, two or three hits most of the time. And after they terrestrialize, it's you know, you can put them to sleep. They're no longer a grass type. You can redirect their hits once again because they're no longer a grass type as well. You don't get that attack boost if you're the fire form either, which is really important. Plus a nice defensive terrestrialization, like you said, can really answer some of that Ogerpon after Terra. So I think that, you know, playing around Ogerpon has also become maybe a little bit more you know, understood. It was still new. A lot of people were very afraid of its boosts, and now people understand where, you know, you have to Terra, where you don't Terra, and can maybe play the Amoongus better, especially experienced Amoongus players like Pulchua.
Of course. I think just in general, especially just looking at this usage, it's day 1 we had 11 Pokemon with 20%, day 12 we have all 12 Pokemon have 20% or more usage, and mm-hmm. I think it just goes back to there is a select handful, a condensed meta of these insanely powerful Pokemon, and at the same time, they all do different things. They're all able to mix and match with each other, and there still are like these other Pokemon. When we go into looking at the teams in just a moment, we're going to see that a lot of these teams are really well put together, and each Pokemon has its own spot within each team to complement these insanely powerful top 12 that we see right here for day 2. Going on to the teams, we are going to be using data just compiled by LabMouse, built by our very own Tim, Mod Tim. Are there any specific Pokemon usage-wise you want to look at, or do you want to just dive straight to the teams?
Maybe we just go to the teams and we can kind of, you know, look at different Pokemon, how they, you know, perform, because there's some interesting ones in here that we might want to, you know, take a look at in terms of how much teams are actually bringing them, such as like Salamence or Armourouge.
Of course. Well, the first thing I would like to know, again, going with no Regulation E Pokemon in the top 12 for usage, there is only a single Regulation E Pokemon in the top 4 of this tournament, and it's the Pokemon that you expected it to be, but it's not in the form that you expected it to be in.
The teal mask Ogerpon ran by Jamie Boyt with the razor claw for the improved critical hits on the Ivy Cudgel, which I know I played the Ogerpon team on the Literate Lessons channel a little bit ago, and I was running the Scope Lens Ivy Cudgel for a little bit. I changed it over to Life Orb before the video started just because of consistency. But I think that like whenever you can like steal a crit or you can steal an upgraded crit chance, especially on top of Swords Dance, like why not, right? You're not sacrificing your health. And the speed boost on the grass type Ogerpon is also really, really important on this team.
It really is. Right now, we thought that Ogerpon, especially Wellspring Ogerpon, was going to be the death of the Tornadus Urshifu teams. That is not the case whatsoever. So we're going to be seeing a lot of speed. And to have a Pokemon that can resist Urshifu and to go into get into speed, sure, you're going to probably die to Oblique Windstorm or two, but it happens. Mm-hmm. But getting the Terra Grass to be able to get that double boost on your Ivy Cudgel, have the super, super high critical hit ratio, it's just a cool Pokemon. And of course, the Defiant boost as well, when Jamie did his it was on his day when he was on stream on day one when he did his winners interview. He explained how he was trying to force King Gambit onto the team the entire time. He needed Intimidate to help with people intimidating into the Roaring Moon and the Arcanine specifically, and just came to him, well, there's no Groupon form with Defiant, so why don't I just use that and slap a Razor Claw, and every time I get an Ivy Cudgel critical hit, I'm just getting a KO. And so this is probably... I mean, Jamie just built some of the most unique teams that we've seen. And just to go through the rest of it, we have the Roaring Moon here, which is this new booster speed Tailwind support with Terra Poison. Mm-hmm. We have the Banded Hisuian Arcanine. Substitute. I didn't even realize it was Substitute Urshifu. With the Splash Plate, which is the Mystic Water equivalent. And then the Life Orb Goldango with Nasty Plot, and this is honestly the part of the team that threw me off the most, the Assault Vest Thunderous Therian. And again, like going through team building, Boyd said that he was looking for a special attacker that was off the ground, and that's Thunderous Therian right there.
Yeah,
it goes to show like he has He has three Pokemon that were top 12 usage for day two, and he was able to use these non-top 12 Mons in specific roles to build around the three insanely powerful Pokemon that he did bring. And I think that's like the whole how team building is going to be going in this format.
Yeah, I think that Ogre Pond Grass is really cool too to counter... you know, like the Urshifu, the Choice Scarf Urshifu specifically, because you can get that speed boost, be faster than them, and then, KO them. But Jamie Boyd's team was definitely, I think, one of the most unique here.
Definitely.
But obviously, you know, we need to shout out Chupacross getting that first regional win. Really, really awesome. Very happy for him. I have a transitive regional win now because of my win against him on stream.
That's how that works.
Anyone who has beat me also has a transitive regional win, so you're very welcome for that. you are all regional champions at some point in time.
So, right before we were recording, I wasn't able to watch finals as it was happening. I had to watch it after, and I just got the text, I'm a transitive regional champion, and I'm sitting there like, what the hell does Jay mean? And then I saw it, and like, I think it was halfway through game one, I'm just sitting there like, oh yeah, Chuppa's going to win, and since Jay beat Chuppa on stream back in Hartford, that's how he gets it. So this team here, this is a team that I have a lot of experience running. This is the Hirofumi team that was very popular in Regulation D, which also won last week's regional as well in Lille.
Yep.
Have
you seen the memes with it's Chuppa's face and it's the winner from last week, like Santi, I think his name is.
I saw it, Aaron Trailer retweeted it.
They look very similar, and they played the same exact teams, and were sitting in the same exact spot, and they just like transitioned into the other face.
Yeah, that was so funny. I think Aaron Trailer made that.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And it's
really funny that it happened twice.
You know, which, this is an amazing team. I'm actually shocked it didn't get a major win back in Regulation D. This was the team I piloted most of Regulation D. I love this team. It's the classic, you have your classic 3-attack Mystic Water, Urshifu Rapid Strike, Rocky Helmet Tornadoes with the Rain Dance, Tailwind, all that jazz. And then you just have a bunch of great Gloomons. Jianpao just helps the Jianpao helps all of the Pokemon besides Urshifu and Fluttermane. Tornadus and Fluttermane put out more damage. Rillaboom's just an amazing Glumon that gets even stronger with Grassy Glide. Banded Terranormal E-Speed from Hisuian Arcanine is cooler than Banded Terranormal E-Speed from Dragonite. There, I said it, and I'm right. Because Arcanine has 4 rings this month, and Dragonite doesn't have that many.
No, that Arcanine as a Pokemon is completely and utterly cracked, and we keep seeing just different versions of Arcanine, different Arcanine types, whether it be like I know Citrus Berry won a couple weeks ago, you know, Ban the past 2 weeks. Yep. This Pokemon is very flexible in a format where it feels like it shouldn't be that flexible. There's a lot of threats to it, but it just keeps pulling it out. It's so strong. And it's very strong, you know, in the rain as well, which is just so surprising, I think, to everybody. So,
yeah. No, I absolutely love this Pokemon. It's probably... I never expected... especially when it came out, I never expected to... Not for it to be this good, but that I would also enjoy using it. Whenever I can throw a Hisuian Arcanine on my team, I'm doing it. And it's just... if you have not used this Pokemon yet, it has won 4 straight regionals. Back to back to back to back. Use this Pokemon. It is going to change your life. Hopefully.
Yeah, I need to get on the train when I get back into play it a little bit more. Just runs through teams, and it was extremely clutch in the finals set. It was clutch in the top 4. You know, Chuppa obviously had to make some, he made some really good calls, specifically in game 2, yeah. You know, like calling that he wasn't going to rage, that Paul wasn't going to rage powder, but this team is so incredibly well constructed. There's great matchups into everything and just so much damage.
Yeah. I think the biggest change from the Regulation D Hirafumi to this current iteration of the team is the Regulation D Hirafumi. It was a booster speed Flutter with Calm Mind and Terra Grass, while this one is the booster special attack with 3 attacks, Terra Fairy, which is your more common booster Flutter main set. And again, it's just all about getting that damage out. There is just so much pressure that this team puts out from turn 1, and it legitimately never lets up. So congratulations to Chuppa for... piloting this team to an amazing win.
Finally getting that regional that has been eluding him for, you know, since the first one of Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah. Was able to get one in this season. Let's go to the next team, Paul Chua, who is running a Roaring Moon Balance team. As he usually does. A few different choices here. First of all, the Roaring Moon is the classic Terra Flying Acrobatic set that we are used to with Dragon Dance, though. You have the Shooka Berry on Heatran. No Steel coverage on Iron Hands, both electric for Wild Charge and Volt Switch. The Rocky Helmet on Amoongus. Specs Perish Song Flutter. And then the classic, Choice Scarf Lando with Terra Flying. This is just good stuff's balance, and Paul Chua's the best good stuff's balance player on the planet right now.
Yeah. So you pointed out the Iron Hands not having any steel coverage, which actually, you know, it ended up being very important in the finals after Iron Hands, you know, missed a KO on Flutter main, which really could have changed the course of this game. You know, that was obviously one situation, but that change was meaningful there. The Volt Switch is obviously a weaker move on the Iron Hands with the very low special attack. But this team is also really, really cool. It's interesting to see the return of like the Shooka Berry on Heatran. You know, with Terastalization, I think a lot of those resist berries have you know, kind of hit the hay a little bit and not been all that important. But you know, this is a really good utilization of it. And then the rest of the team is, you know, that classic good stuff balance. The D Dance improved Roaring Moon with knockoff.
Yes.
That it didn't have before, which is obviously a great move. And Specs Perish Song Flutter is really, really fun.
I really like, because, and it's been a common trend, like a lot of the specs flutters, instead of using a coverage move, throwing in a support move. I know Charm was another option. There was a Trick Room, like Trick Room specs flutter was.
Yeah, Trick Room's been very popular recently too.
Mm. And part of this, and that is partially because, well, the Amoongus really helps, but partially because even like your balance teams in a lot of cases were so fast that if you did get into Trick Room, you would have a really rough time. So having a way to shut it off was always going to be huge. Mm. The Perish option as well. Paul's just amazing at really pivoting his Pokemon around, getting them in proper positioning. And so that Perish song, to just have that in his back pocket as a way where maybe he realizes that he can't out-damage you, but in three turns, he can just make sure you don't get a KO, and he'll get two off the Perish. I mean, it's definitely a tech that makes a lot of sense when you look at the way he's played and the way he's performed with these sorts of teams in the past.
It's an interesting tech to me because this team has, you know, an assault vest and two choice users on it. So there isn't a lot of protect to try to stall through those turns. So, you know, I don't know how much if we saw it at all used on stream. I wonder how important it was through Paul's run, or if maybe he would want to, you know, a different move looking back on things.
I mean, I can see if, like, we could probably find out if that's the case. I think one of the other things, like, Roaring Moon does have a really good special defense when it's not switching into a fairy-type attack.
Yeah, and you're also using Amoongus to kind of
the Amoongus.
Keep that positioning for your choicers.
You have Intimidate on the Landers, which helps with damage reduction. Iron Hands is always fat, especially with the Assault Vest. And to be quite honest, this might be where the Shookaberries comes into play with the Heatran. To be able to switch into a ground type attack and not need to burn your Terra on the Heatran, where maybe if you wanted another defensive Terra just to get that extra survivability and just overall optionality with your Terra to not be forced into anything, or even just forced into a protector or switch, that could be really huge.
That definitely makes sense. It has those defensive options, you know, that Fluttermane obviously with its specs is trying to do mostly damage, you know, but it has that fourth option if Paul ever sees, hey, I can maybe win this, maybe the Amoongus has everything asleep, I could put this to sleep and then just stall out with Amoongus Rage Powders and stall the Parasong through.
Let's go. Moving on to our next team, Raghav brought another relatively common regulation decor in the Goldengo, Regidrago, Tornadus Hyper Offense team. This also featuring the Scarf, Urshifu, Terra Poison. You have the Rain Dance on Tornadus, along with Protect, which is a tech that isn't seen as often. The Hisuian Arcanine with the support set, Will-O-Wisp, Citrus Berry, and the AV Rillaboom.
Mm-hmm. You also have the Metal Coat, Terra Dragon, Goldengo here.
Yes, Metal Coat instead of lefties is definitely an interesting call.
Get that boost in Make It Rain, just get that one time big damage. I could see that. I love Regidrago. I love that call. I think it's especially with Fluttermane falling below that 50% usage. Regidrago has lost one of its best switch-ins, you know, on half the team. So in half the matchups, it's really hard to deal with. So another cool Pokemon here. This team is really awesome. Raghav piloted it amazingly as well. You know, was on stream multiple times throughout the weekend, and this is awesome team.
What's funny, so in their day one interview, they stated that Drago was, at least at that point, the Pokemon that they were bringing the least, but even its presence of okay, I know if you have Flutter, I'm forcing you to bring the Flutter. I'm just going to bring my anti-Flutter stuff. And yeah. Or even just, I believe it was one of the screen games where they forced the Arcanine into using the Terra to Terra, like the their opponent's suing Arcanine went Terra Fairy. It's like, okay, well, now you're food for my Goldengo. And I can Terra Dragon the Goldengo and just click Make It Rain. And, well, you've just made yourself weak to that.
Yeah, have fun taking my Metal Coat boosted Make It Rain, bud.
Yeah, it's just the amount of attention and pressure that it that Regidrago brings was more than enough to merit using the Pokemon, and it's and to force your opponent into plays that might not be super optimal for them for the long run because they're so short sighted into I don't want this Dragon Fang Dragon Energy blowing my team up. Yeah. Which, if you also just aren't prepped, like, if you don't have any fairy coverage or the ability to, like, resist dragon, that's just what it's going to do to you.
Yeah, I think also the Terra Poison on the Urshifu is, you know, an interesting call here. The resistance to Fluttermane is really great. It's a very nice defensive typing also if you want to take a close combat from, you know, an opposing Urshifu. We did see that, they Terra poisoned in the rain and, were facing an opposing, Urshifu. And I was able to come in and click Surging Strikes and just obliterate it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is obviously, you know, something that is a danger, but you get a lot of that defensive utility on the Choice Scarf being able to say, hey, I can really eat this Fluttermane Moonblast if I Terra poison here and get off a nice strong Surging Strikes.
Of course. I do think one of the other things to note, compared to the other teams that we've seen so far with Rillaboom, is the fact that Raghav used a Terra Grass Rillaboom to boost that Grassy Glad and that Wood Hammer damage, and that's been another interesting ripple we've seen with the addition of Grassy Glad back in the game, where Rillaboom was solely going for defensive Terra typing Regulation D. It's now sprinkling in the offensive Terra typing, in grass, in order to get those, bring Grassy Glide back to like close to its former level of damage output from the Sword and Shield era.
Yeah, you're probably pushing KOs on, you know, certain Fluttermane spreads and Urshifu spreads, even with the Terra Grass.
I think it's like specifically. Yeah, I think it specifically is to pick up certain Fluttermane set spreads. You need to make sure that your Terra Grass to get those spreads.
Yeah, I lost so much of the offensive damage from the nerf to Grassy Glide, but you can just counteract that with the Terra, like you said, and just really do that damage, pick up those KOs you need, and Rillaboom is once again all over the top eight here. It won the tournament. It's so strong, and you know, the grassy terrain too on this team with the Metal Coat Goldengo is, you know, a lot of additional healing that's like a replacement for the leftovers. Makes it for a really delicious combo together.
Yes. So we did already talk about Jamie Boyd's team, so we're not going to go there. And speaking of grass types, while Bobby Rochelle's team looks very similar to Chuppa's team, there are a few differences. You have the Iron Hands here. Give me a moment. You have the Iron Hands here as a Terra Poison Clear Amulet with still no Protect. And the
Ice Punch.
Yes, with Ice Punch. To be quite honest, you're running Ice Punch. I mean, you probably want the Fake Out Pressure. But if you wanted like a Poison type with Ice Punch and that didn't care about Intimidate, run Okidogi.
Iron Hand stats are better.
Yeah, Iron Hand, I couldn't even say that with a straight face. I just ignore me.
That's like, yeah, it just like, it has better stats, and like, you get the Wild Charge too. You get that strong electric stab, which I think is, you know, with Okidogi, you're running the Poison Jab, which is weaker.
Yep.
Or you're running the
Gunk Shot, which misses.
The Gunk Shot, which misses all the time. And with this, instead of being like, I'm a hard counter to Lando with my guard dog plus, you know, Ice Punch, you're saying, I'm not a hard counter, but I also don't lose.
Yeah, it's I do other things.
And I can pick up that KO probably into the or two hit into the Terra flying and one hit into the non-Terra without the Intimidate drop. Hmm. So you pop the clear amulet.
One of the things I also find interesting with this Iron Hands is the fact that it's using close combat over Drain Punch. And you'd think, like, without it holding the vest or not having any protecting moves, you'd think that it would want at least Drain Punch to be able to stay on the field, but it seems like he really, really wanted to maximize his damage. And the healing also came from another place. Jay, Sinistra has finally, for this week and this week only, escaped the allegations of it being just the most underperforming mid Pokemon that we've seen.
The tea Sinistra was piping hot this week.
Sinistra finally has its first top cut, using a nasty plot variant in order to boost up and put out a lot of damage. Matcha Gacha is a spread move, base 80. And so after a nasty plot as well, not only are you able to put out a lot of damage with that Matcha Gacha and have the burn, but you're also able to recover a lot as well.
Yeah. Tons of healing. Because you're healing 50% from each Pokemon, which mm-hmm. can end up being like 100% of the damage dealt to one of them. It's a lot of it's a lot of healing. Sinistra's HP stat to begin with is not like all that high, so your healing ends up, you know, coming in much easier. It's similar to like Hornleech on Ogerpon. I think mm-hmm. that this set reminds me a lot of Ogerpon sets. Yeah. A lot of, I'm gonna have the additional bonus of healing my teammates and being, you know, when I switch in, but I can also do the redirection and set up stuff myself, do a lot of damage. There's also, I just noticed it, Leer Tornadus is here.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, there's not even, before we get to that, I just realized this is heat-proof Sinistra, so maybe we're just all
It's not hospitality? Wrong. Are we bugging?
It's heat, unless, I mean, I went to school for math, I can't read.
That definitely says heat-proof.
Okay, that's good.
I guess with the Terra Steel, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that does. That does make a lot more sense. And there are a lot of fire types high in usage, so maybe yeah, everyone was just using Sinistra wrong the entire time.
This team is crazy.
Yeah. Back to what we were saying. Someone call Swede, because I'm pretty sure he took Bobby's team. It's not a Leer Dusclops, but the Leer on the Tornadus, not a lot of the Tornadus use Rain Dance in order to boost their off the offense, specifically on their Urshifu Rapid Strike. However, the issue is only Urshifu gets that bonus. Being able to use Leer to help your Iron Hands, your Urshifu, your Arcanine, and your Chiempao pick up all of these extra KOs is amazing. And on offense as well, the Tornadus here is a Sharp Beak Tornadus, so the Bleakwind Storm is doing a lot of extra damage. Like, I mean, pretty much everything on this team, outside of the Sinistra, which might need a nasty plot boost, is able to, again, put out immediate turn one damage, and the train just isn't stopping.
Yeah, and that's, I think, also the Leer is probably an important factor in why we're running Clear Amulet Iron Hands here. Mm. It is there to do a lot of damage, pick up KOs quick, hit that close combat,
yes.
You know, pick up KOs on Pokemon that it wouldn't be able to with that Leer Tornadus next to it. I assume the Iron Hands probably has quite a bit of speed on it. You run it next to the Tornadus and try to outspeed some stuff, surprisingly, too. Mm. You know, it's a really good synergy together, and I think that, you know, this team obviously did very, very well. We see, like, double Dark on the Chiempao as well with that Lash Out to counter Intimidate spam into those strong physical attackers on the team. It's a really well-constructed team with some really unique ideas.
And not even just the Intimidate, any team that's using Icy Wind still, or just really any attack that has a secondary effect of a stat drop. Opposing Bleak Windstorm's another example of this, to punish those Pokemon as well for, like, you got the Bleak Windstorm and it lowered my speed. Well, yeah. Here's a lash out, you're dead. And that's doesn't matter if you outspeed me if you have zero HP.
Yeah, this team is really awesome. The Sinistra is really, really cool too. Just a completely different look at the Pokemon that we have not seen before.
So moving on, we're going to look at the next two teams. They're relatively together. Because they are both,
are so different.
Yeah, well, it's a Blood Moon team.
Blood Moon Trick Room, but one of them is Size Spam, the other one is Dusclops Weakness Policy.
It's Size Spam with a Tornadus Urshifu mode. For me, just in general, I love Blood Moon. I might have called it mid earlier on, and after using it, I used it last week to come in second place at the Fall River Premier Challenge. I love this Pokemon. It is so fun to use. Again, another Pokemon where if you haven't used it, give it a shot. It is super, super fun, and we had two of them make a cut this week, and again, it was like two different aspects. Enzo's team had the Psy Spam with a Terra Fire in Deity. With
the only defensive Terra.
Yes, literally the only defensive Terra on this team. and then the other interesting options, you had the Brick Break Swords Dance Waterfu, the Throat Spray Blood Moon, you do have the Covert Cloak Bleak Windstorm Grass Knot Tornadus, in order to hit those bulky water types. Terra Psychic, Life Orb, Armor Rouge, because boy oh boy, you want that expanding force to pick up everything. And then looking at this is probably a, because I don't believe Enzo ever was on stream, but just looking at this set, this is probably a special attack boosting Fluttermane.
Yeah, that would make sense on this team.
To be quite honest, if anything, at least like, not saying it's completely equivalent, but just the way that the team looks to me, it reminds me a lot of, like, the 2-2-2 Dozo teams where you have, like, three different cores and your opponent needs to figure out which one you're going to use, and you can pretty much pick out the two cores that are going to do best into each opponent. You have the
I see where you're going with this.
Mm-hmm. Because you have the Tornadus Urshifu mode, you have the Psy Spam mode with Ndidi, you have just a generic Trick Room mode with Ndidi or Saluna. And the Ursaluna can also come in with the Armor Rouge. Fluttermane's just a great Pokemon, and you can throw it on anywhere. But it gives you the opponent with this specific team here needs to guess, what are you doing? And if they pick wrong, like let's just say they're prepping for Tornadus Urshifu, and you see Side Spam come out. You might be screwed, like, from turn zero. And that's what these teams, along with the 2-2-2 Dozo teams, are able to do. It's definitely not a type of team I would run, personally. I just don't... Psy Spam and I don't get along. But in general, I think it's like a really cool team to... Like, it's a very unique team to bring to a tournament and to do this well in.
I somewhat disagree with your point to how this is like similar to the 2-2-2 Dozo. I think that those pieces really only operate like separately as, you know, cores. Meanwhile, I think that this team, it has the ability to make you guess, which I think a lot of really well-constructed teams make you guess in your lead matchups. But I think that this one has a lot more flexibility between the modes, unlike the 2-2-2 Dozo. You know, the Ndidi can pair up next to your Fluttermane and just click follow me and Dazzling Gleam spam. You can do Trick Room stuff with Armor Rouge to set your Ursaluna later on. You can do Ndidi plus Urshifu or Tornadus plus Fluttermane. Like, there's a lot of ways, even Tornadus plus, like, Ursaluna Blood Moon in certain situations can, like, you know, be very important. Tornadus plus Armourouge. Armourouge actually has a, you know, a decent speed stat. I think that there's, like, a lot of flexibility between these options that the 222 doesn't have. And that's, like, I think one of the reasons why this team did so well this weekend. And we've seen a lot of size spam teams, you know, doing well recently because they add in that really strong mode that's like, I need to fear this, I need to answer it, similar to how Dozo teams do. But they flex really well together.
No, I definitely agree with what you were saying. I think when I compared to the 222, it's more so like that's like the other team, sort of like, yeah, like the, I could do all these options. One of the things I would be interested in is the speed stat specifically on the Blood Moon and the Armourouge. Yeah. I'm not saying that they have like speed investment, but maybe those are 31 IV modest instead of like the 0 IV quiets, specifically on the Blood Moon, to like take advantage or as much advantage as it can of the Tornadus. The overall, I will say the one thing I really don't like about the team, just in general, is mainly, well, I know, actually, I do like the Brick Break on Urshifu. I think that a lot of the times you're going to want to click Surgeon Strike because it's one of the best attacks in the game. Yeah. And there isn't still enough screens and snow around, and I can see it on a team like this, going up against a team that can set up screens and can blow you bulkier to outlast you could be a lot of trouble. Yeah, it's probably
good. It's like the Baxcalibur teams.
Yep.
Like, specifically to help your armorers do more damage into it.
Yeah. No, so I like that. It's I'm not huge on the Throat Spray or Salunas, but again, that could definitely be an item crunch. Personally, I think Life Orb is the best item on Ursaluna Blood Moon. It gives you the damage boost. It's the most consistent one in terms of that damage. And the only other option that I really like is the weakness policy stuff with Blood Moon. And the only mon that's really set in your policy. I mean, maybe you could do, like, your grass knot's going to do too much damage into the Blood Moon.
Way too much.
Urshifu's going to, again, do way too much. So I think the issue there is, you want he probably wants the Life Orb on the Armourouge, which is probably the more of a main mode than the Ursaluna, and you can't proc the policy. So I understand why you're using the Throat Spray. It's just not an item that I would overall suggest using on the Pokemon.
I think I like Assault Vest on Ursaluna Blood Moon too. I think that's something that maybe hasn't been seen too much. I think it works well with, like, your Blood Moons and stuff, because you can click Blood Moon into, like, Vacuum Wave as your fourth move.
Or even just have, like, Fairy Coverage and Moonblast.
Yeah. I think, you know, it has really great coverage moves. It has a lot of strong options. And its special defense stat is its weakest of all of them, so allowing it to survive hits a little bit better is helpful. But, you know, the Throat Spray and the Weakness Policy are the two that have been doing, you know, better. Mm-hmm. And we have Life Orb, actually, and as the other one, which is a little surprising considering you're running it with the Dusclops.
So, this is 5 out of the 6 Pokemon that I use. So, technically 6 out of the 6 Pokemon I used last week. The only difference, actually, like, outside of, like, Terra types between the team I ran and this team is, I ran Wellspring Ogrepan, and you see the Ogrepan is actually Cornerstone, because we all thought that 4 weeks into the season that the two Ogrepans that cut Toronto are going to be Teal Mask and Cornerstone.
I'm hyped to see Cornerstone doing so well. I have it on my UDL team. Mm-hmm. I love rock types too. I was not a huge believer in it, but it's really been having some good finishes. I know it finished top 16 in the past couple events, and now has its first top cut. You know, along with the Teal Mask one, we have the two underdogs of the Ogre Ponds coming out to play this weekend. And this team is really, really cool. I love seeing Dusclops do well. Support is very smart with, like, Snarl. I think Focus Sash Chiyu is amazing. And the rest of the team is just really well constructed. It's pretty standard otherwise for like your Blood Moon Trick Room stuff. But it's so weird seeing the Dusclops and no policy on the Blood Moon.
So I think, again, just speaking from experience using the team, it's, again, it's just making sure that you have that more consistent damage. The ability to have the Life Orb done, like, especially with the Terra Normal, and to be quite honest, I don't even think you need to be the Terra Normal. I like, just the way that the format is moving, I do believe that Terra Grass, which is what Justin Knox used with Life Orb, might be a better option solely so you can work better out of Trick Room. Because this team is able to work out of Trick Room. You have the Landorus, you have the Hands, the Ogre Pond, the Chiyu, even the Blood Moon, if you put it in the right scenario, doesn't need the Trick Room. It just needs the attention off of it to be able to get off a really powerful Blood Moon or a Hyper Voice. And if you went with like a Terra Grass instead of a Terra Normal, I think that would help more. Mm-hmm. Specifically, why I think he was using the Ogre Pond and why also like with the Chiyu. So one of the issues this team has is against, if a team has Taunt Tornadus plus another way of shutting down Trick Room. So, for example, your the Regulation E Rinya team that is the Tornadus plus Furigraph with Imprison. This team really, really, this like archetype really, really struggles against that. And the Chiyu Ogre Pond is really good into that. Chiyu's Dark Pulse is able to threaten all of your Imprisoned Trick Room mons, and Ogre Pond, what it's really good at doing is deleting Tornadus from existence or forcing the Terra. And when you force the Terra, a lot of these Tornadus are Terra Ghost. Now the Tornadus is going to lose to the Chiyu. So I think that switching the Ogre Pond from Wellspring to Cornerstone on this archetype was a really, really great call. And it, again, it's really great to see, again, these new Pokemon with the Blood Moon, Ursaluna, and the Ogre Pond do well and adapt, and hopefully break into that top four soon.
Sooner or later. It's only a matter of time.
Yes, LA, it's going to top four LAIC. I'm going to try speaking it into existence. The final team in that we had in the top eight is Justin Tang, who is...
The GOAT.
Nope. No stranger to Top Cut, using a Regulation B team.
Justin is the absolute GOAT, man. If Salamence could KO Roaring Moon with Draco Meteor, then we would be talking about how Justin Tang is the greatest Pokemon player of all time. So this man took Tailwind, Choice Scarf, Salamence to a top 8 finish at a regional. Unreal.
And it's not like... Because, like, Salamence, I believe, at San Diego, to start off the last season, Salamence did make... I want to say it was top 8, where Jody ran a rain team with Salamence. And then we just never saw it again. To be quite honest, a few people in my building group brought up Salamence last week and for this tournament specifically, and was told, like, that ain't it. And then they were telling the same people yesterday, you better apologize. It probably is more so Justin Tang and, like, Tang's, like, building group just being completely cracked, and it's a player diff. It's a cool mon. The Scarf Tailwind is really great. It's probably one of the fastest Tailwind setters that isn't the Prankster setter or Roaring Moon, who it apparently can't KO.
You were talking about that special defense stat earlier, so...
I was watching Boyt's Roaring Moon just take that Draco Meteor to the face, living on 1 HP. It just... absolutely nutty. And to go on... And to go along with the Salamence, it's supported by... Everything's really supported by the Pelipper. Being able to set the rain, which makes the Amoongus and the Goldengo less terror-reliant in front of these fire types. It makes your Iron Bundle's Hydro Pump hit incredibly hard. It makes your Salamence hit its Hurricanes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
One of the really cool things with this Pelipper as well is that it's using Weather Ball instead of Hydro Pump for more consistent offensive damage. And it having both Wide Guard and Protect, the ability for it to protect itself and its partner two different ways, is really great.
For sure. It's nice when you don't miss moves. That always stinks. So running Weather Ball when you set your own rain is pretty consistent. There's not a lot of Torkoal running around in this format. The majority of Tornaduses are rain dance anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So your Weather Ball is, you know, very cool in that regard. But also, if Sun is set, now you have a Fire-type move that you can use, which is something that Pelipper doesn't have in its kit to begin with.
Nope.
So it's some very unique calls here that worked really, really well for Justin. The Iron Bundle, which I know is something that he's been playing with for a while, something he's very comfortable with. Something that I think, you know, is finally getting the credit it deserves because it's so good at speed control. And that Amoongus back in the fold as well. This one's Citrus Berry, which is very classic, like Reg C Amoongus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as opposed to the Rocky Helmet, which was you know, a little bit more popular, I believe, today. Something that I saw a little bit more often.
Yeah.
But yeah, really awesome team here.
I think one of the other cool things with the Iron Bundle, when you're using this rain team, the bulky waters that your opponent might have will become a huge issue. And to have Stab Freeze Dry to threaten those water types. Like, because when you look at this team, the first thing I'm thinking is, well, once they get rid of the Salamence, Wellspring Overpond kind of runs through you. Well, now you have to deal with the Freeze Dry as well, along with the Hurricane on the Pelipper. So it has like all of these answers to what you would think would be its built-in counters. And it's just, in general, just a really cool team. And it's very weird that with Politoed added back into the game, that the weather setters that we've been seeing succeed, or at least two of the main three weather setters that we've seen succeed, are Pelipper and Titar, which we've had the entire time.
Yeah, and that, just while you're speaking on that, that's because like Pelipper can actually do other stuff.
Yep.
That isn't setting the rain. It can set Tailwind. It can do Wide Guard stuff. It can click Weather Ball. You know, like Politoed's a little bit limited to like Hydro Pump or Chilling Water, whatever water move you want to run, Helping Hand, maybe Parasong or Hypnosis. You know, it doesn't have that strong support move that that the Pelipper. It doesn't have the offensive output that the Tyranitar brings to the table, and that's why we continue to see, you know, these older weather setters continue to do so well.
Yeah, I think, and that's just in general with Pelipper just fits the more offensive format. Even our balance-ish teams, Paul, it's a balanced team. Roaring Moon, Iron Hands, Flutter, Lando, and Heatran all just put out just absolutely disgusting amounts of damage. And all five of those Pokemon, if you aren't ready, can just sweep through your teams. But it's a balanced team. And when the issue turns into Politoed just not having any sort of offensive output, and the pace is just too slow for it. Its own pace is too slow to keep up with the amount of damage that's being put out in the format right now. I think if we got Politoed to start off with instead of Pelipper, in Politoed would have been a lot better in Regulation A, maybe Regulation B, when the power level and the pace were a lot slower. But at this point, especially with it losing Scald, it's just not able to keep up with things. Yeah, no, it was. This was a really fun weekend to watch. I was actually able to watch pretty much all of the matches this week, which was a treat to be able to get everything in. And yeah, each each dream match, and especially day two, it was just some of the most amazing Pokemon that we've seen in this format. It has rapidly developed, and just due to the fact that we've had four straight majors. And I'm curious to see what the two-week incubation of no regionals does for the people who are planning on going to LAIC in a few weeks. So I'd say moving on to the next thing, with LAIC coming up and with everything that we've learned, before we sign off, where do you think the meta is going with everything? We've seen, I think, it settled to an extent over the last couple weeks. What's the next step?
I personally don't think it's really changing much from here. I think we'll keep having some, new Pokemon pop into the top 12, but I think we're going to be, chilling with mostly the same Pokemon for a little while. But I think that there is a lot of room for the format to potentially bulk up further. When are we going to start seeing these, strong Dozo bulky teams? And, we had one finish in ninth place with Carson. We're going to see one of them do well. We'll start seeing, I think, Screens teams. We've seen the Snow go, do well for a while. I think we'll start seeing maybe some more Grimmsnarl, potentially. But I think we found our little format here. We had the same team win 2 weeks in a row. Yeah. The only difference being that Chuppa had Protect on his Urshifu rather than Detect.
Yep.
And we'll get unique Pokemon every now and then, but I think we're about where we're at. What about you?
I relatively agree. I think if you're given some of these top players who are going to show up to LAIC, someone's going to figure out what the answer into the Shirafumi team is, or just Tornadus, Urshifu in general. At the start of the format, we thought that it was going to be Wellspring Ogerpon, and we are woefully mistaken. I think the Pokemon that I think we're going to see a lot more usage out of is, Cornerstone Ogerpon, with the number of fire types that are in the format and the ability to just completely take Tornadus out after, on the first turn. I think that is a Pokemon that hasn't really been explored enough, partially because people just gravitated to the other Ogerpons. And now that we saw that the other Ogerpons didn't perform as well this week and they fell off in usage, maybe it's time to reconsider Teal Mask and Cornerstone Ogerpons.
Yeah, I think both of those Pokemon are very underused and undervalued at the moment. I think they add a lot that maybe they just, we haven't really been thinking about so far. So I like those calls as well. Are you ready to get out of here?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to take this off. This is very warm. I am sweaty right now.
Well, thank you all so much for watching episode 191 of Little Roo Lessons. I'm Jay, joined by Ro, as per usual. Make sure you guys subscribe, and comment, all the fun YouTube stuff. Follow me over on Twitter. Follow us over on Twitter at LR Lessons. Follow me at JMcG10. Follow Ro at RoVGC. Rose Cheeks.
Rose Tinted Cheeks. Rose, it's the Tyler cheeks. Song. It's those Rose Tinted Cheeks. Yeah, it's in Dirt Colored Eyes.
I got a little closer there. Rose Tinted Cheeks on Blue Sky. And I think we're at LR Lessons on Blue Sky.
We are.
If you're listening over on Spotify or Apple Music, make sure you guys leave a rate. Join the community Discord. That's where you'll find all of us hanging out. The website, lrlessons.com. And you can always find us and help support the channel with Patreon and Discord supporter tiers. Shout out to Johnny Bravo Sr. and Papa Swish for Patreon, and Smeargle for the Discord subscriptions. And that, I believe, is it. I have been joined by Sully, and this is Cal and BD1 signing out on my way to Tantalor.
Have a great week, everyone.
See you guys next week. Peace.